Well, thank you, Paul, and good evening, church. It's a blessing to be here. I'd like to thank the church and pastor for allowing me to come and speak tonight. It's always a privilege to be able to give God's word. If you wouldn't mind turning your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 1. We're going to be talking on a topic tonight of taking action. Now, specifically, taking action on burdens that God gives us. Now, we're halfway through the year. If you're in some sort of finance space at work, you're probably dealing with all the end of financial year stuff now, which also means we're 6 months on from the start of 2026. Now, like most people will get together and they'll start some New Year's resolutions for the year. And maybe you have had or you had some New Year's resolutions around what you'd like to do and maybe specifically about how you want to improve your life spiritually. Now, a couple of months ago, we had CELAR conference, and I know that the Lord spoke to me in CELAR conference, and it's in conferences that the Lord speaks to many people. And maybe at CELAR conference, the Lord burdened you for something. Maybe at another point in time in your life that the Lord has spoken to you greatly. And for many of us young adults this week, we're going down to TNS in Sydney. And if that's one of you, what I know is that God speaks to each and every one of us. Each year we go to TNS, whether that's whatever conference is that, whenever God's word is opened, I know that he is speaking. So tonight I want to speak on the subject of taking action on the burdens that God gives us. Now, we see this happen in Nehemiah's life. And so if you have your Bibles there, Nehemiah chapter 1. And just to give some context as to what happens in the lead up to where we are here in the book of Nehemiah. So if you look at the book of Nehemiah, you'll see it's written in the first person. So this is Nehemiah writing or recounting it himself. And he writes it from his point of view. Now, up to this point, what's just happened? This is about 400 to 500 years before Christ. So in the couple of hundred years leading up to this, what happened in Jerusalem is that the Israelites, they had been exiled and they had been let back in. So God's punishment on them was that they were sent out of Jerusalem, and for a period of time they spent outside of Jerusalem, but they were let back in. And in the time between when they were let back in and now, they rebuilt the temple. So when they were exiled, the temple that was built and that had been destroyed. Now, about 70 years before this point in time, Zerubbabel, he was there and in Jerusalem and he rebuilt the temple. So about 70 years has passed since the temple had been rebuilt. Now we get to this point in Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah is introducing himself and this is how it opens. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 1. And the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislau, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which was left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The walls of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burnt with fire. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight and the privilege it is that we can be here partway through the week. I pray that as we open up your word, you just may speak to each and every one of us tonight. I pray that as we leave here, we may be more equipped for your service. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. So in the start of this passage, what we see happen here is Nehemiah is introduced, and the very first thing that happens is that one of his brothers, Hanani, he comes back from a trip in Jerusalem, and Nehemiah, he asks him, how was it in Jerusalem? And the response that Hanani actually gave Nehemiah is that Jerusalem was in great affliction. The remnant, so the Israelites that they were there, they were in affliction and in distress, and the city itself, it was in ruins. In fact, the wall that was built around it had been destroyed, it had been burnt down. And why that's significant is back in those days, a wall had a much more benefit than what a wall might today. So if you think about us as a country, we have this great ocean that surrounds us. Now, what that does is it's not just great for amazing views and surfing, it's also great for protection. It's very hard for another nation to invade our country because of the logistical issues of coming into Australia through the ocean. So in the same way that we have an ocean today protecting our borders or our perimeter, what they would rely on walls for back in those times is protection. Now, Jerusalem, they had their walls that had been burnt down. So the temple had been rebuilt, but everything hadn't been fixed. It was still in disrepair. It wasn't being taken care of. So what that then left is it left Jerusalem vulnerable for armies that were out there and that could come and take them at any moment. So Nehemiah, he heard this. He heard the report that his brother gave him, and it says in verse 4, "And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." Now, if we continue reading on for the rest of the chapter, we would see there Nehemiah's prayer to God. But Nehemiah's response to hearing of the news of Jerusalem was that he was upset. That the news that Jerusalem was in disrepair and the walls around it were non-existent, that upset Nehemiah. He was burdened by that. He heard the news of the state of Jerusalem, and as it says there in verse 4, he sat down and he wept. Now, what shows is that firstly, Nehemiah was a man of God because he loved the things that was God's. Jerusalem obviously being where the temple is, and the temple being where God was present here on earth. He was troubled by that. He was troubled by where the place of God and the people of God, that they weren't doing well. So that then leads us to our first point, is that God calls us through a burden. So at this point in time, God was laying this burden on Nehemiah's heart. What we're going to do tonight, we're going to go through the next few chapters and have a look at what happens in Nehemiah in this situation and what he does. But if you very quickly look across with me, I want to show you that the Bible says that it was actually God that lays this on Nehemiah's heart. Chapter 2, verse 12, and it reads, "And I arose in the night, I and a few men with me." Now notice this, this is really easy to miss. "Neither told I any man what God had put in my heart." So Nehemiah is acknowledging there that what he had been feeling and what he's been thinking and what he wants to do, it was God that puts this on his heart. So what this shows that is this, and what we're going to look through, this is a calling that Nehemiah has got from God. And God uses this through a burden. Now, if you have a look at all of Bible history, it's consistent that God calls people through a burden. If you have a look at our very church, when our church was founded some 48 to 50 years ago, the people who originally started had a burden for this part of Brisbane, or this part of Southeast Queensland. And that's why we have the land that we do today. And then from that point onwards, God burdened people to give and contribute to allow us to have what we have today. The very school that we have is only a result from a burden that someone had that we needed to reach the children or the young people in either our church or our community. So the very result of what we have today is only because people that came before us, and some of them actually are still a part of our church today, were burdened to either give or to start a work. But that burden initially came from a love or a desire to see people get closer to God. You know, if you have a look at everything, whatever facet of ministry that is, every work starts from God putting a burden on somebody. We hear about all the great missionary stories, how they go and travel across the seas to plant churches or missions in certain countries. The reason why the missionary goes over is because they were initially burdened to do so. It's not because that they thought that they would go on this amazing adventure and be a great fun thing to do. No, God lays it upon their heart. He gives them a burden for those people. The only reason why we have the gospel here in Australia is because over the last 2,000 years, God has continually burdened people to spread the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world, because really, the gospel and this the whole story of Christ started on the polar opposite side of the world to what we are. So we can see that by our very presence here tonight, that God works through having a burden on people, giving people burden. So if we will continue on, and the second point I have for you tonight is that burdens without action is just a good idea. So Nehemiah, he gets to this point, right, where he is told about the news as to what's happening in Jerusalem. He needs to make a decision what he's going to do. Now, I heard of saw a story or a reel this afternoon, and it was about a building in Manhattan, which you might have seen as well, where the metal pylons or the metal piers that are holding this building up are starting to buckle. And in the video, you could actually see these metal piers like looking like an elbow of some sort rather than straight like they should. Now, this is a massive skyscraper. And really, I saw that story, but then I very quickly moved on and that sort of slipped out of my mind. I'm not burdened to do anything about that situation. As hard as that situation is, and as much as I hope that everything all happens over that's very quickly just moved on. So I can, to Nehemiah in this situation, like I've just moved on from that situation, and as sad as it is, I'm not burdened to do anything about it. He could have just very quickly just moved on and gone, oh man, that situation over there in Jerusalem, that really sucks. I feel sorry for those people over there. But I'm just going to continue on what I was doing. Nehemiah, he was a cupbearer to the king. He was in a pretty privileged job. He had regular access to the king, you know, to put it into today's context. Imagine if we had regular communication and our job was frequent communication with the prime minister. Maybe some of you wouldn't want that. However, it's a very privileged position. It's a privileged position to be in the ruler of an area. But what Nehemiah ends up doing instead, so he's two options, either one, do nothing about it, or two, is secondly, to go and do something about that burden. And what we see happens after this is Nehemiah ends up going and something happens. But before we do that, I want to have a look at a couple of verses. James chapter 1, if you wouldn't mind turning there with me. Verse 22 says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." You know, it's really easy for us today to build a bit of a consumer mentality. Everything in our lives today is about consuming. We consume what's on our phones. We consume what's on our television. We consume, obviously, all the ease of access that it is to food and everything. It's very easy for us to just consume things. And the same thing, it's easy to do in a church, right? Especially a church the size of Good Shepherd, where we have an amazing orchestra, an amazing group of people up here singing, good preaching on at least a Sunday morning, maybe not tonight. But we have it good here at Good Shepherd. You know, I feel very privileged to have grown up in Tamworth in a church that was much smaller. And what we'd have to do is everyone would have to chip in at something. And if not everyone was just doing something, there would be things that wouldn't get done. But in a church the size of Good Shepherd, and the bigger the church is or the organization is, the easier it is to just become a consumer and enjoy what has been given to us. But the danger in that is that we don't become doers. And God, as it says here in James chapter 1, he says, "But be ye doers of the word," and notice this, "and not hearers only." which is in the same way as being a consumer, right? Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23, you don't need to turn there, says, in all labor there is profit, but the talks of lips tendereth only to penury. So in other words, what's saying there, penury ends up effectively means nothing. And the context of this passage is saying that there's profit in labor, but just the talking of lips leads to nothing or to poverty. So if there's no action attached to what you're saying, it leads to nothing. And I think we all know people who are really good at saying things and they're going to do things, but then it ends up nothing ever happens. We probably all know someone who's a notorious talker. They say they're going to do something, but we know it's never going to happen. It's just always consistently the same thing. And that's what this verse here is talking about. James chapter 4, so turn a couple of chapters over. Verse 17, it says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is sin. So if we know that we ought to be doing something and that thing is good and we don't do it, that is sin. You know, it's very easy for us to blanket things and go, yeah, that's a sin. Yeah, lying's a sin. Yeah, obviously stealing's a sin. Yeah, gossiping is a sin. But the Bible says here that if we know to do something that is good and to not do it, that also is a sin. So in this situation, Nehemiah, he had two things that he could do. He could sit there and do nothing, or he could do what was good and what God was calling him to do. And now fortunately he takes the latter, but if he didn't do so, if God's called him to do something, he knows it's good and he doesn't do it. If he rejected what God told him to do, that would have been a sin. And you know, I think that the danger is we can do that quite frequently. We can have God tell us to do things or call us to do things, and we can put that on the back burner, put our other priorities first, put our own things first. That in itself also is a sin. You know, what God often in youth ministry asks the youth what God has spoken to you about. It's at the end of conference, or CELA conference, we sat down in life groups and we spoke about what God has challenged us to do throughout the conference. And many of them said, God's challenged me to be reading my Bible more and spending more time in prayer, right? Now, that is God burdening them to deepen their relationship with him. That is God burdening them to get closer with him. Now, by them not doing that, they're not following through with God's burden. Now, obviously, that's a very small example, and it doesn't take a lot of life change. There's a lot bigger burdens to act on and than that. However, if we're not doing those small things, God won't use us in the bigger things. If God can't trust us in the smaller things, he certainly can't trust us in the bigger things. And we see the story of the talents highlights that and explains that well, but we won't go into that tonight. And sorry, I was meant to a while ago, Asher, tell you that this is now point two. Point two being, burdens without action is just a good idea. A burden without action is just a good idea. So if you have a burden to do something and God's challenged you to do something, God's spoken you to do something, then you haven't followed through, that was nothing but a good idea. But you know, good ideas, they're worth as much as the brain power that was put them together with. Once a good idea finishes, or you can communicate that to someone, you can tell the whole world about it, but unless there is action attached to that, it changes nothing. Well, then that takes us to point three. What did Nehemiah do? If you have a look, if you turn your Bibles back to Nehemiah for me. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, the wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto him, the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is our countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. Then said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? So what's happening here is Nehemiah, he goes back to his workplace with the king, and he has this sad countenance by him. So the knowledge of Jerusalem being in the state it was affecting his attitude. Now, I'm not saying that he had a poor attitude here, but it was affecting his attitude. It was affecting his outlook or his presence at that time. And the king notices this. So the king spent a lot of time with him, and he would have known generally what to expect with Nehemiah. And he noticed that he was upset, or there was something that was bothering him. So the king asked him, why are you bothered? You're not sick. I don't know what's bothering you. And the response Nehemiah gave him is, how can I not be sad if the place of my father's sepulchres lieth in ruins? Or in other words, how am I supposed to be happy when Jerusalem is in the state that it's in? Verse 4, and the king said unto me, for what do thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. Verse 5, and I said unto the king, if it please the king and the servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldst send me to Judah unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, for how long shalt thou journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I sat him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please thee, king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convoy me over till I come unto Judah. So in a very quick nutshell, what's happened here and what happens after this is the response or the king asks Nehemiah, well, I see you're sad. What do you want from me? And Nehemiah said, well, if it pleases you, let me go to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls. And then Nehemiah requests that the king write him a letter to give to the governors to allow him access. And then what we see if we continue reading is not only did the king give him that, he also gave him the resources or the materials required to rebuild the wall. And he also sent him with him men, which were not just everyday men, men of the army who were strong and capable of doing the task that Nehemiah wanted to do. So Nehemiah, he requested this of the king. He got the permission from the king, and then he goes on, and then he goes out. In verse 11, if you skip down there, it says, so I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days, and I arose at night, I and some few men with me, neither I told any, we looked at this part earlier, any man what God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode on. So what happens is Nehemiah, he goes out and he expects for 3 days what he ought to do. He goes out and he looks at the walls and he has a look at what needs to be done. And skip down with me to verse 17. And I said unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. So Nehemiah, he sees everything. He gets permission from the king. He goes over to Judah, over to Jerusalem. He sees for himself everything that's lying there, ruins. And he says, let's rebuild the walls. Now, for the sake of time, I'm not going to look into it, but he faced some opposition here. He faced some challenges, but after this point, he goes out and he starts rebuilding the walls. which then takes us to our last point. So if you flip over to chapter 6 and over the next 6 chapters, Nehemiah is building the wall. In verse 15, it says, "So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul." Notice this part, "in 52 days." Not only did Nehemiah go to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls, he did it in 52 days. From when he started building the wall to when he finished, he did it in 52 days. Now, the whole lesson behind this is actioning God's burdens leads to great things. This is a great thing. I don't think we can comprehend how impressive this is, that they build a wall around the whole city. Imagine if we had to try and do something like that today with all the red tape and everything that we have to deal with, the slow work unions that are out there. It would be impossible. But these guys managed to build a wall around Jerusalem in 52 days. And that's what's possible when we follow through on what God is calling us to do and actioning our burdens. So that then leads to the question, has God burdened us to do anything? Maybe it was at the beginning of the year and you set out as a New Year's resolution that you were going to do something either for the Lord or you're going to build your relationship with the Lord. Maybe it was in CELAR conference only a couple of months ago and nothing's changed from that point. Maybe there's a few of us here going to TNS in just a few days. And the question is the Lord going to speak to you in this conference? Are you going to have your heart prepared for the Lord to burden you about something? Hey, this doesn't have to be as grand as going to a foreign nation and a foreign city and rebuilding something. It could be as small as just getting into God's word a little bit more. But what we need to be doing is whatever God is laying on our heart, wherever we are we actioning it? Or are we just leaving it and letting it be a great idea? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight and the privilege it is that we can be here at church. Lord, I thank you for this reminder in Nehemiah how when you call us to do things and we do it, Lord, it's truly you working, and those are great things, and great things can happen. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here tonight that has an action, something that you've called for them to do, you just may speak to them. And Lord, I pray that for those who are going to TNS, those that are here tonight, those are already down there, or those who are yet to travel, that you just may speak to every one of them as you speak through the preachers. I pray that you just may equip the preachers down there and help them to speak from your word. And Lord, we thank you for all that you give to us, for all that you've given us here at this church. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.